Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about, well, looking at the very fabric of our being through the ancient lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today, and we call that polish Armadoxy. I invite you to take a look with us. Take a step with us. This podcast is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the Initiative's mission and by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Doing. I hope you're doing well during this Lenten season. We're somewhere in the middle of Lent, getting close to the midpoint, but I hope you're enjoying it. I hope it's a time for reflection, introspection. You know, I always tell you have to do that during Lent. How about if we do it to ourselves? Are you ready for that? I've been thinking about this, and I've been kicking around for the last couple days. You know, I demand so much of next steppers. I demand so much as a pastor of my people. How about if I'd share with you a little bit of introspection on my part and on the work that we're doing? I hope this is going to come off. I don't know how it's going to come off, but I figure if I tell you at the beginning of the show, I can't back off of it, okay? We're going to do that today. A little bit of next stepping inside taking some steps inside, okay? Introspection. And yeah, that's part of the Lenten season. But you know what? I am just like in a really weird mood today. Woke up with all kinds of ideas and dreams about what we're going to be doing. Met with the Archbishop around 9:30 today. We talked about some of the programs that we're putting into place, especially in domestic violence and looking at the next step, so to speak, in what we're going to be doing for the domestic violence program. Then I met with my dear friend Linda Maxwell. Oh, guess what? She's agreed to be my guest next week. Next week, she's agreed to be on The Next Step. Okay, so Linda Maxwell, what a fascinating woman. Just what I call a miraculous woman. Just fantastic, okay? Anyway, she'll be coming on next week. But as I was talking to her, I was volleying around between different moods and different ideas of what I want to do. Volleying, does that make sense? Yeah. Like a volleyball? Yeah, okay. You go from one court to the next. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm here in front of the microphone and I'm kind of pumped up. I'm energized and I'm thinking to myself, okay, too many mood swings. What's going on? And then it clicked. Last night, did you see that full moon? It was a full giant moon, you know, as big as Frank Bigelow's head, just sitting there looking at me over the freeway. I was driving right into it. Huge, huge, huge moon. Okay. Then I get home last night. And what do I hear? I hear on the news that we're experiencing some solar flare-ups. Yes, the sun is not behaving, or actually it's behaving the way it should. There's some massive flare-ups so that we're going to be seeing, especially those of you up by the poles, you're going to be seeing some great northern lights. I don't know, will it hit the South Pole? I got to check that out. But definitely in the northern area, you're going to see some northern lights like you've never seen before, well, at least since the last solar flare-up. And apparently communications, it's supposed to hit our communication means. So if we have a little problem and this next step doesn't get out on time, we can blame that. That celestial giant in our sky, the guy that gives us all that light and gives us all that warmth. Why not? Let's just blame the sun. Hey, have I ever told you that story about the sun and the moon? And my mom used to tell us this. It almost sounds like it might be a Kipling story. I'm not really sure. But it's about how the sun and the moon were identified. I guess apparently the sun and the moon, as my mom would tell us, Lucine and Arev. Lucine, of course, is the moon, and Arev is the sun. I guess they were brothers and sisters. Or maybe brothers or sisters. I'm not sure if it was gender specific. But anyway, they were siblings, let's say it like that, and they were fighting. And their mom was kneading some dough in the kitchen. And because they were fighting and she was yelling at them like, be quiet, You know, calm down, slow down, don't get at each other. And they wouldn't listen. They kept fighting with each other. So she took up, this is awful, isn't it? Now that I'm thinking about it, this borders on child cruelty almost. Anyway, she took some dough and threw it at them to break up their fight. And apparently it hit the moon, Lucene. So it dimmed her light. The dough dimmed her light. So she was charged with taking care of the night sky, and the sun was charged with taking care of the day sky. Now, of course, don't talk about this with your science teacher to our young listeners. This is one of those cute little stories that mom tells to teach us a lesson. Like, take care of your brothers and sisters. Don't fight with one another. Okay, let's learn that lesson. Anyway, the sun gets its light, and the Lucene, the moon, is dimmed by the dough that was thrown at it, by the events of this episode. And we're talking about mood swing. I mean, like, look at right now, okay? I'm volleying. I'm volleying from one place to the next. I'm in one court and then going to the next place. And I'm trying to attribute it to these celestial events, to large moons, to full moons, to solar flares. And then it occurs to me, okay, all of a sudden we start talking about spiritual matters. Demonic possession. You want to go there? Well, I do, because when I think about the moon and I think about the cycles of the moon, I mean, in Armenian, the service over the exorcism is referred to as the service over the Lusnod, the lunatic, Luna, the moon, Lusnod. Okay, and it is attributed to the cycles, and before, of course, modern medicine, it talked about seizures. You know, the epileptic was known as the Lusnod, the lunatic, okay? And, it was a way of treating it, right? You would call in the priest who would take care of it. I remember a few years ago, there's a service that actually takes the key of the church and puts it in the mouth of a person. And I remember several years ago, a couple brought their child to me. And one of the priests that's now serving in our diocese, he was a deacon, and he was standing next to me, and he noticed this, and people came and said, "Would you open my child's mouth?" And it's usually done when a child has difficulty talking. And I did the service, which involves taking the key to the church and placing it inside the mouth of the child and then opening it along with the prayers and the psalms. And this poor deacon who was there serving at my church, he looked at me and said, "What kind of medicine man thing are you doing?" But you know what? I'm and listen to me really carefully, because before you start, you know, complaining to the AMA, it's not a question of trying to practice medicine, but it's also, it's an idea of understanding that we are more than the medical facts. We are more than physics. What physiology tells us is real, what physics tells us is real, is there. And just for the record, so you know, I did ask this couple that, yes, I will pray, but please, you know, follow up by going to a doctor. And they had, I mean, and I did. These were people that I know. And I'm happy to report that subsequently, you know, she did talk. She was fine. And probably at some point the parents were trying to find means of getting her not to talk so much. And being a healthy young teenager herself, I saw her last as a teenager. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that many times we look at the spiritual as almost not real. Almost as something that, well, it needs to be validated. And what does it take for us to really turn that model around? Like, what tells us that certain things are more important than others? Where do we draw our standards from? Like, why is it that, you know, science and medicine will get an approval, will get a thumbs up, even though sometimes they don't know what they're doing? And yet when spiritually we approach it with faith and we want to do a healing, you know, again, we're going back to that volleying idea. We're going between these two worlds. going between these two courts. And that is the beginning of today's next step, because we're going to be looking at, well, like I promised you a few minutes ago, we're going to be looking at my life. I'm going to be reflecting on what we're doing. And I'm going to do it within the contents of that two worlds that we have, because lo and behold, this week happens to be the Sunday of the Dishonest Steward. And I'm going to bring that in too, because that is really one of those fascinating stories that, you know, takes a while for us to really get a hold of. And I'm going to take you for a ride today, and I hope you enjoy this ride. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different, but hopefully in doing it, and for me to open up myself, you'll find that this Lenten journey is all about really looking in and finding those demons that are within you, finding and discovering the newness of life. And basically, like I said at the beginning of the Lenten cycle, it's not about the 40 days. It's about the 325 days that follow. Like how to make the rest of the year something beautiful by the actions that you're taking right now. Okay, now the song of the day. I got to give a preface to that too. We pick out a great song every day. I have never, ever received the type of response as I did last week to Chabama. I don't know what it was. I struck some nerves, some chords, but I've got people who were just in love with that song. People who reflected remembering that song, talking about the first time they heard that song, about their childhood, others who requested, where do we get that song from? So it was really a great one, and I'm glad that I was opening up and finding some of my old treasures over there. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now, today, here's an interesting one that I want to share with you. This is an old song, too. And I guarantee once I give the name, you're going to say, oh, I know it. But you don't know this version, okay? This is called Dele Yaman. Wings on Fire. Okay, you've heard this song. In fact, one of the early songs that I remember as a child, Armenian songs. It's one of the Armenian bluesy songs, okay? Dele Yaman. But this, I found it on a CD called Raven, Visions Within, and it is music for a new age. That's the subtitle of this CD. This is a version, it's about the love within each of us, a love as pure as the love between a mother and child. That's what's written on the notes of this song. This is off of a 1995 recording. Yeah, way back in the last century. It's off of a 1995 recording on Raven. I hope you enjoy it. It's meditative. It's a good one just to listen, to close your eyes. Of course, do not try this if you're driving. Close your eyes and just let the music take you, okay? We'll be back on the other side of it. Dele Yaman. The song, of course, is Dele Yaman. Do you think that was kind of Native American, right? I like the beat there. It's off of an album called Raven, and we will definitely put a link on our show notes so you can check it out. It's subtitled Visions Within, Music for a New Age. And Dele Yaman is one of the older traditional Armenian songs. And I'm not there actually on the CD liner notes. There is actually no reference to anything being Armenian, nor does it say how it evolved in this format. But it is a very special song for many Armenians, and it was just very pleasant to find it on this CD. This song in its entirety is 11 minutes on this particular recording. Of course, I cut it short because of time restrictions, so you may want to check it out, and you may not, but it is fantastic for meditation. And that's what we're doing right now. We are meditating. We are in the middle of the Lenten season. And as you know, it's just like this absolute perfect time to reflect, to meditate, to pray. And we started off the Lenten season by saying that, you know, our prayer life should be heightened, our giving, our sharing, our talents with others. This is a time to be cognizant of the talents that we have and how we use those talents with others. And of course, along with that, there are dietary restrictions that we partake in to help us in the entire discipline of life. Now, unfortunately, many times we look at Lent as this time of negativity. Now, next week, I'm going to have this beautiful opportunity to share with you somebody that I truly admire and respect, Linda Maxwell. And she's going to be our guest. But this morning, I told you, I had a chance to meet with her over coffee. And she gave me these beautiful, beautiful flags about putting them in my backyard and letting the energy flow from them. And it was very interesting because when I first saw the flags, I thought, okay, these flags can shoot out all the negativity within us. And when she described it, it's about letting our blessings go. And isn't that the case many times? We always look at this negativity, the negativity factor, as something leaving us when, in fact, the negativity is really not around. What people really perceive is the goodness that's inside of you. And can you believe in that goodness that's within you? This is the challenge for us, for each and every one of us. It has to do with self-worth issues. It has to do with confidence. Confidence in believing in who you are. And so we get caught up, unfortunately, a lot of times with the negativity of the Lenten season as being this time where everything is restricted. Instead of thinking of it as a time where everything is heightened, everything is really to be shared. The love that you have inside of you, the thoughts that you have, the prayers that you have, can you share those with other people? So it's really a question of perception. It is not about a negative time. It is really a beautiful time in life where you have an opportunity to look within. So that, like I said, the other 325 days of the year get to be very special, heightened. When Jesus says, I came so that you would have life and have it abundantly, why not? Why shouldn't that life be full of abundance? And how do you get that abundant life? By filling it with love. Now, love is not easy, right? Love is not easy. We can talk about it all we want, but it's a tricky one, right? And that's why I said I wanted to share with you some of the challenges that I've gone through and ask you to reflect with me. Let's start off with this entire idea of the two worlds. This is a story from the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. As you know, every Sunday in the Armenian Church is designated, every Sunday of Lent, excuse me, is designated by a unique name. And they have unique parables. This Sunday is the parable of the shrewd manager, or sometimes referred to as the dishonest steward. Let me read it to you. It's probably just as easy as if I were to tell you the story. It says, Jesus is telling us the story, Luke chapter 16. There is a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possession. Manager, somebody who is entrusted, right? The steward, somebody who is entrusted with taking care of property, taking care of riches, taking care of goods and services. So this rich man, whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions, so he called him in and asked him, "What is it that I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be a manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What should I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig or to work, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me in their houses." So this manager calls each one of his master's debtors. He asks the first one, "How much do you owe my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Cut it in half. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. Wow, quite a savings, huh? The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. Now, this is the parable. This is it. So you have a guy who's been caught red-handed stealing, and he figures out a way. So he says, "Okay, I'm going to be out of work. Let me find a way of making friends for myself. Because when I'm out of work, I want to be able to go to these people and say, 'Hey, remember me? I was the guy who cut your bill in half. I was the guy who took some percentage points off of your bill. So please, can you give me a job? I want to be your friend.' Or, 'I was your friend and I want to continue this beautiful relationship that we have built on deceit and—" Oh, no. Don't go there. But you get the idea, right? And so here's the punchline. It's verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Now, the master had lost money on this deal, but he's commending the manager because he acts shrewdly. I got to tell you something. When you hear this right off, don't you just think deep down, this is really weird? This is one of those really weird parables. First of all, Jesus, can't you think of somebody better to make the hero of the story? Can't you commend somebody better than that? I mean, you're talking about a thief, a cheat, a dishonest person. How could you make this guy the hero of the story? And I've got to tell you, it's a really weird parable to look at, unless you have some background on what it's about. Now, I'm going to confess to you that this was the topic of my first sermon ever. This is some 35 years ago. I had just gotten back from seminary. I was still a deacon. And God rest his soul, Father Shahe Samarjan, who was the priest over at St. Peter's in Van Nuys, California. Just a dear priest. He knew I was back. I guess I had been back for a few months at that point. And he said, "Would you like an opportunity to give a sermon?" And I said, "Sure, I'd be honored. I'd be honored to do that." And so we looked on a calendar, and he says, "How about on this date?" And he gave me a date on the calendar. Now, I had no idea what the date was, except that it was during Lent. And I figured, okay, that would be okay. It'd kind of be like one of those mellow Sundays, you know, Lenten thing. And as the time got closer, I said, "Okay, I better start preparing this sermon." And lo and behold, I open it up, and it is the Sunday of the dishonest steward. And I open up Luke chapter 16, and I read this. The master commended the dishonest steward because he had acted shrewdly. I go, what is going on here? I mean, like, with all the parables, with 52 weeks to give a sermon, and this is the parable that comes up on the lectionary. This is what I got. So I got a crash course in what it's like to give a sermon under pressure. Because, hey, I got to remind you, when I became a priest, there was, the seminaries were all in Armenia, in Beirut, in Jerusalem. I had gone to Armenia. Here in the States, you basically had a few really devoted priests that you could call up and talk to. You had libraries, and I remember going to some different resources in preparing for this sermon. And I don't think it clicked in my head until many years later how powerful this sermon is. But I remember at that first time when I spoke about it, I did get to the point of differentiating between the two worlds. And this is the next part of it, which I want to share with you. This is verse 8 continued. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of light. Now, what are you talking about? The people of this world? We're talking about aliens? The people of light? What is that? Well, yeah, you know, back in the 1970s is when I first read this. I mean, Star Wars was popular. I remember the people of light. I remember a few years later when E.T. came out, and he had to phone home, and he had this really incredible light right on the tip of his finger. But what was this all about? In the Bible, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of light. And Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And as I confess, this took me a while to digest. It took me a few years, several years. But as the years went by and this parable kept coming back to me and I had an opportunity to reflect on it, it became very clear, and it's very clear right now. I want to share it with you. It's that, yes, there are two worlds. There is the spiritual world. There is the physical world. And each are interrelated and interconnected. Don't think that you can live only on the spiritual plane. Don't think that you can only live on the physical plane. Both are dependent on each other. The person that says that, hey, all I need is God's word and I'm fine, forgets that to get that God's word, you need a little bit of money to be able to purchase that Bible, to purchase that book, to purchase the means. And don't forget that this is not just about capitalism, this is about the way of the world. That in world there is bartering, there is trading, there is communication. There is getting along with one another. And so it's so clear through this parable, when you really think about it, that the Christian is really called to have one foot on both planes, on both courts, so to speak. As he volleys between the two courts, to be firmly grounded in both planes. The Christian is not just a spiritual person. Sure, you have that love in your heart. God has given you that love, has given you the example. Jesus Christ gives you the example of what love should be. But that love has to be acted out somewhere. That love needs a means. Needs a form, needs to be expressed somehow. And so that physical and that spiritual world come together. And you need to use the tools of the physical to promote the work of the spiritual. Let me say that again. You need the tools that are physical to promote and do the work of the spiritual. Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, it's an interesting parable. And really, it's one of those parables that just don't listen to me right now. Do meditate on it. But this is where I want to go with the next portion of this podcast. So bear with me for a few minutes. I'm going to let Susie make her announcement, and I'll be back in a few minutes. Just think about this for a moment as we listen to what Susie's going to tell us. And then I want to tell you how I evolved, where I am with this. And it fits in right with this idea of the two worlds. Here's Susie with how you can get involved in this ministry.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced the next step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie. And it's a reminder right in the middle of this podcast today that, yes, we are on both worlds, like just like what we said. Hey, you want to read the Bible, it takes some money to buy that Bible. You want to listen to these podcasts, it takes some money to produce these podcasts. Thank God we have just some great listeners, people who believe, people who are supportive. We need your prayers. We need your donations. And you know what else? You can share this. You can share this message, and that's a big one. You know, get it out there on your social media, on wherever you can. Get the links out there. You know, I can't tell you how many emails I get during the week that are just nonsense. I know you've seen those too, you know? They pass around a joke, and you're supposed to laugh. And then at the bottom of it, it says, you know, send it to 5 people, otherwise this will happen. If you send it to 10 people, this will happen to you. And it's usually some good luck that, you know, okay, yeah, you get all this money. You know, but what is that money? You know, okay, so you win the lottery. And then you say, okay, well, what am I going to do with that? Okay, well, you've passed around 10 emails and you've won the lottery. Now, your next step is the next step. You got to be supportive of these things, you know, and like I said, you know, people toss around the strangest emails. Take a moment to toss around this email. Send it to your friends. Tell them that there's something very special happening over here at the Next Step with our Compass broadcasting, with our Lenten Journey broadcasts, with our In Step with Christ. Epostle is all about getting the word out. I'm so excited right now. The In Step with Christ series, which is being produced every week through Diocesan Television, it's now required of Sunday schools and Sunday school teachers. They actually follow along. I saw one young lady came and approached me the other day. It was very, very flattering. She approached me at an event. It was a large auditorium, and she says, you know, we watch you every week. We watch the In Step with Christ. And she says, just before I go into my Sunday school class, I watch it so I get all of the material that I need about that lectionary reading. And yeah, you know, this is what it's about. It's about sharing it. It's no good just keeping it in your pocket. It's no good just keeping it to yourself. You've got to share this beautiful message of love and hope. And that's what Epostle is about. It's about sharing. It's about taking the apostolic, the mission, the evangelism that the apostles were engaged in, and using the means of electronic media. Hence the name Epostle. Not apostle, epostle. It's apostolic evangelism for an electronic, and yes, it is, and an expanding universe, as those sunspots are hitting us right now. Don't forget, we are in an ever-expanding universe, and at least for the next few billion years, we're going to be in this situation, so might as well get used to it. I know I have. So that's what it's about, and we invite you to get involved through the Epostle website. You can make your donation through your normal means of communication, whether it's on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, or through email. Get the word out.
Spin me back down the years. years and the days of my youth. Draw the lace and black curtains and shut out the whole truth. Spin me down the long ages, let them sing the song.
One of the practices of Lent, of course, is introspection. I'd like to share with you today some of the reflections that I go through, some of the path that I'm walking on. When I think about my priesthood, when I think about my ministry, it's an opportunity, the Lenten period. It's just so beautiful for me because it gives me a chance to stop and really reflect on what is the calling. And when I think about the calling, okay, I've been a priest almost 30 years. Then I think, but the calling was way before that. If you really challenge yourself, when did you get called? Well, you know, it obviously had to have been at a time before you began training for the priesthood, before the education process, the formal education. And when you put it in those terms, you're looking at 35, 40 years. It gets scary. You go, whoa, that's a long time. Yeah, now that I think about it. But before I scare myself, you know, the Lenten period is this beautiful time that I get to reflect. And you know, when I look at my life, when I look at what I want to do, what I want to accomplish, it's very easy for me to use the word I, because it's very easy. I want to do this, I want to get there. What's difficult is for me to really push it and say this is God's will. And I say that because so many times, whether you're a priest or whatever you're doing, you always want to, you want to live with a bit of humility. And you want to be able to say that, you know, this is God's path for you. But in reality, you are being pushed by inner struggles, inner desires. And those you have to rack up in the I category. And this is dangerous. This is really, really dangerous. But this is where those two worlds can meet, the spiritual and the physical. So let me begin where I began some 30, 40 years ago. It's when you understand that there is such a power in this message. I remember back, as a child, studying the words of Jesus and realizing how pure it was, the pure call to love, to be able to challenge yourself, to really reach out to others and share that love. And I remember growing up in the church and hearing these beautiful, beautiful hymns of the church, what we called the Sharangans. And understanding that there was a mysticism involved in it. And yes, the trappings, the bells and the whistles, the smoke, the incense rising up to heaven. What Vahantekean would refer to as the birthplace of my soul was really made up of all of these physical trappings. Yes, you want to talk about the birthplace of my soul, the Armenian church, the Jesus message and everything, but there are all these physical trappings. Again, your two worlds over there. Well, growing up, you're growing up in America. You're growing up with all the materialism, and you're growing up with all kinds of friends that are engaged. And you got to remember the 70s, the 80s, there were the trappings of drugs. There were the trappings that came in a permissive society. And all of a sudden, you're in a world where you realize that, hey, you have a formula over here that can help this world. It's the formula of love. And I was influenced by a generation that was looking for peace. Peace in many different forms. And I found it. I found this peace that was given through the message of love. I found it when I heard Give Peace a Chance by John Lennon. When I heard Imagine a World Where There Are No Segregation, There Are No Boundaries. Imagine a world where there is no religion. Just brotherhood of man. Is that possible? And I realized that, you know, as you look at the world, there are many trappings. People who will take that message and will distort it. And I realized at the same time that this beautiful Armenian church was minus the people. That so many of my brothers and sisters, so many of my friends that were growing up together in the church as brothers and sisters were leaving the church. And this is the part that I called the disenfranchised. In other words, the church was not answering their call. We talk about belonging. We talk about how important it is to find identity and how important you can find the identity within the Armenian church. And then I realized, hey, I'm standing alone. There aren't too many people that really want to invest their time, want to invest their resources in this church. But they're doing it elsewhere. They're finding spirituality elsewhere. And all along, the Armenian church has this beautiful message, has this ancient tradition, but doesn't have the language, doesn't have the means to get out to the disenfranchised people. I said, there's got to be something. There's got to be something that I can do. This is where I get to the I, right? And this is where I think the calling came. Yes, it is a very loud I that has to answer, because you have to be sure. You have to be sure. And don't fool yourselves. The ego is very much involved in it. But ego, I want to believe in the good sense. Not an ego that says, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. But an ego that says, yes, I can do something. I can answer this call. I can make a difference, because if I don't, nobody else will. And now I've got to be honest with you. That was the original call that I answered. I realized if I don't, nobody else is going to care about the Armenian church. In other words, we need to be able to answer the calls that are given to us. And when those calls come, you better be ready to answer, because they go on. The call is still there. But, you know, it's like this ringing phone. You know, you better be ready to answer it. If not, somebody else will. And it's going to go on. And it's not going to suffer because you've answered or you haven't answered. The phone call is still being made. And so I understood that there was a simple understanding that love is more powerful than evil. Because I saw that not only in the Armenian church, I saw it now in my family. And I was very, very blessed to have been brought up by two grandmothers, both genocide survivors. And I saw how powerful faith can be in life, that it could even combat something as terrible and as awful as genocide. And I saw this in both of their lives. They each approached the issue of genocide in their own way. One grandmother who was very, very, very demonstrative in her faith. She spoke about her faith. Another one that was very mellow in her faith, but you knew that it was very alive. It was a faith that kept her going. And these two grandmothers, both, I could say, volleying my head volleying between the two camps. And there they were, both of them in these two different areas. One very demonstrative of her faith and wanted everybody to know this is what her faith was. The other one who was very quiet and actually offended if anybody would talk very loud about their faith, but demonstrated her faith in a very strong and compassionate way. Okay, now I have this understanding of love, the power of faith, the power of God in life. Now I want to share this. I want to share this with other people, especially with the disenfranchised, to tell them that, hey, before you give up on this church, take a look at it. There's something underneath it. It's not about all this management, because what happens is that everybody looks at that physical management of the church and discounts the spiritual management. So we look at the people and we say, oh, this priest isn't any good. This bishop should do this and this and this. And we talk about these physical managers without realizing that the real manager of the church is Christ. And there is a Holy Spirit that we have to, if you're going to buy into it, you have to buy the whole thing, right? You got to believe that the Holy Spirit is moving people. He's moving you. There's a reason why you're listening to this podcast. Did you know that? And it's not just because of my music selection. You're listening because you're being attracted. There's a reason why you want to say yes to the church. And this disenfranchised group of people need to understand that there is something very, very beautiful in the church that is outside of that physical management style. And so in approaching my ministry, I realized that at some point that, you know, it's a very lonely ministry too. And sure, you have your support group, you have family, you have friends, you have your wife, your spouse, you have your children who believe in it, you have family members that may or may not, and I got to tell you, that's a two-edged sword, because I was listening to the other day to this policeman who was talking. It sounded very, very familiar. He was talking about how every time that friends would come over to their house, he was identified as the cop. Don't have too much fun around him. And I could identify, because a lot of times people will look at you as, okay, you're the priest. Okay, I can't do this, can't do that. Okay. And it's like so shallow. It is so shallow because it's just looking on the, but it also betrays a lot of the insecurities in misunderstanding of people who perceive you, doesn't it? Right. Okay. But back off. Instead of making a judgment on them, I'm going to take it again within. And I realize, yeah, it is a lonely place. It is a lonely place to reach out and to rebel against something that is so popular, basically materialism. And so you stand at a very, very lonely place until you factor in what I call the Joni Mitchell factor. What? Whoa, Joni Mitchell? What? Actually, this just happened like last week. I was watching this clip of Joni Mitchell, and you know, her songs are just, they just get right to your heart, don't they? People relate, right? And I'm watching this concert, and there's thousands of people that are enjoying her music, and it just occurred to me that, hey, if this song relates to me, and it's strumming some chords in my heart, it's also doing it for all these thousands of other people. So that group of disenfranchised people that I referred to is a large number. And there are other people who are struggling and going through the same struggles that I go through. And hey, lo and behold, I'm not a freak. But the freakiness is that we think we're freaks. Okay, are you with me on this? Okay, you need to be. Because listen to this. I'm going to bring it all together right now. It's the message of love, and that message of love, you know and I know, is the right message. And you know that it is an answer. You know that you're looking for an answer in life. Everyone who is at that concert is looking for an answer. Everyone on this planet is looking for an answer. Everyone wants identity. Everyone understands that there's something bigger than themselves. No matter how they want to define it, they realize that in this cosmos, they look down on the floor and they see their feet. That is the amount of space that they take up. And they realize that there has to be something bigger in life. And they define it in different ways. Now, the message that we have is so pure. It is a message of love, and you know that it is a message that works. Now, you're going to say, well, of course, you're going to say that. You're a priest of the church. Of course, you're going to be talking about that. No, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than the church. It's bigger than life. It's the message of love. It's the message that began everything. And you're going to say, well, we expect it from you, but where else are you going to expect it from? You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find a true answer anywhere else except the purity of love. Where? You're going to look to politics for the answer? I mean, you know each politician will sell you in a minute. I mean, how many examples do you need? The other day, somebody criticized me because 4 years ago, I went on the campaign trail for Obama, and he said, see, he let you down, the Armenian people. What, do you really think? Do you really think I go on a campaign trail thinking that he's going to take care of the needs of the Armenians? I mean, you've listened to me long enough. The only people that really care about the Armenians are the Armenians. Well, you really think, you know, for a few million people, they're going to go out and sell out national security? Well, their understanding of national security? Where else are you going to look for a pure message? You're going to look for it in the media? Who are you going to look to? You're going to look to MSNBC? You're going to look to Fox? Fox, okay, there's the conservative voice out there, right? Fox. Yes, they're the media that's going to talk about the conservative values of the American people. Hey, get with the program. Have you ever watched Family Guy? Have you ever watched Family Guy? That's on Fox. What's it about? They talk about bestiality, the dog having sex with the mother. And this is on Fox? The media for the Republican Party, for the conservative movement, for the Tea Party, for Mitt Romney? What are you guys thinking about? What does anybody think about? Profits. That's all it is. It's all about profits, about making money. Do you think they care about your soul? Of course not. But God does. Because there are no profits in this. There is no profit. Whether you believe or you don't, there's no profit for anybody. It's about you. It's about being an instrument of God's peace and love in this world. And that is the call that the Armenian Church has always issued. And regardless of who's been in charge, because the people that have been in charge throughout the centuries, throughout the years, one people, there's political issues that take place, but the Armenian Church in its purity, what I'm talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, is a message of love, of hope, of reaching out with that power of love. And this is what the Armenian Church has always been consumed with, is getting people to understand that they are children of God and that God is working within them and that the power of love is great. Yeah, you have people throughout the years who come in and out, and you have different pastors, bishops, Catholicoi, who come through and have to adapt. But the basic message, what we call Armodoxy, is at the bottom of it all, which is a message of love, of being connected with the true vine. Last night as we were praying the Lenten vigil prayers, O Christ, says Saint Nerses Shnorhali, 12th century saint, you are the living fire, inflame my soul with the fire of your love, which you did send forth upon the earth, that it may burn the stains of my soul, sanctify my conscience, purge the sins of my body, and kindle in my heart the light of your knowledge. Tell me what we've been consumed with. Tell me what our mission should be. Tell me what my mission must be. This is how I evaluate during the Lenten season. This is what is in my heart. I realize that I'm a human being. I'm living on two planes. I'm volleying between two worlds. I realize there is a spiritual world, and I realize that there is a physical world. And I've got one leg on each plane. Every one of us has a leg on each plane. It is the message that comes to us from the steward. We have been given unique talents, and those talents are meant to be used in this world to promote the world that God wants us to live in, the world of peace, the world of love. Use those talents. Use what God has given you to make this world. Yes, to make this world, it's in your hands. To make this world a place where peace reigns. To make this world a place where love is truly an option and a way of life. Yes, make it. Be involved. Take charge of it. Work against injustice. Work with love in your heart. Work for freedom. And become that ambassador of God's work. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to this prayer. It's 24 verses, Saint Nerses Shnorhali. It's called I Confess with Faith. Take a look at it. If you can, give yourself an hour. It's 24 verses for the 24 hours, and you're going to miss one on this Sunday. You're going to lose an hour, but that's okay. See, I'm getting back to the real world, right? Okay? It's not just pie in the sky. Take some time. Take an hour for each verse. Read it. Let it fester inside of you. Let it die inside of you, each of the words, until that those words, as they die, become a part of your life. Today, we went a little bit long today, but I just wanted to share with you some of the processes that I go through during my Lenten journey, during my Lenten period. And I hope your Lenten period is the same kind of self-reflection in the different fields that you're in the different areas that you're involved in. Realize that God has given us something so precious. It is greater than any book that you'll ever read. It is greater than any message you'll ever hear. It is the message of life. It is the gift of life. And it's yours to use. It's yours to grow with. Don't take it for granted. Take advantage of this time to let it really blossom and become something that gives you meaning and identity in your life and in this world. Hey, listen, we are at the end of today's show. We'll put links on our show notes, and I want to continue this discussion with you. I want to share with you some of the exciting things that are coming up. I always love to hear from you. I want to apologize. This few weeks, it's just been very difficult to get back to people because of the incredible load that's been put upon us. We're going after a major, major grant for domestic violence. I need your prayers on that. And as I said, I shared some thoughts this morning with the Archbishop. I want to share those with you in the coming weeks. Do follow us on Twitter. Do follow us on Facebook. We put little bits and snippets here and there. Do follow us at our website, inissues.org, as well as epostle.net, where you'll find today's show, as well as all the shows that we do, including Compass and The Lenten Journey and In Step with Christ. And do download and install the Epostle app on your smartphone, because life will be so much easier. Want to remind you, next week we have Linda Maxwell from We Care for Youth. You will not want to miss that interview. Just a delightful and fascinating and just fantastic, marvelous woman. You'll want to connect with that one. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ania, will be back next week with her bubbles. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.